We are thankful. What's really interesting about this, and I know God is really doing something right now, we have a good friend who visits our church on snowy days. Her name is Brooke Dickinson, and Brooke was here on a snowy day whenever their church was closed and we were still open, and we invited her to come back to the evening and kind of tell us about a mission opportunity that she was going to report to her church about. She's part of Reviving Hope Church, I think it's called, in Potosi. And so she came and she gave us a little presentation in the evening service, and it was about Promised Land Ministries. And so our family had been praying about doing a family mission trip this year, and whenever we heard about Promised Land Ministries, it really touched our hearts. And there's been some other connections with Thailand through the years. My dad actually spent some time there in the military and talked about that land. And so whenever God just kind of was bringing all that together, I contacted through email Brother John to see if maybe they would have some opportunities for us to come and help them with. And in the process of connecting back and forth by email, he said, I'm actually in the United States right now. I'm in Kentucky. And so maybe we could get together. And so it turned out that he could actually come this weekend. And so since he was able to come on the weekend, I really felt like that God wanted him to speak in our church today. And so just invited him, and the church proved that in business meeting that we could have him come and just share with us about the ministry that they're doing in Thailand. And so I'm not going to try to tell you all about it. I'm going to let him tell you all about it. So come on up, John, and we have prayed for you, and I'm going to pray for you one more time. So come on up here, and let me lay hands on you and pray for you, and then we're going to turn you loose. Dear Heavenly Father, I just want to pray for Brother John. I pray you'll speak through him today, Lord. Bless our hearts to be open so that we can respond to your word. Not just hear it, but respond to it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, thank you, Pastor John. Thank you, Cadet Baptist Church, for having me. It's a real blessing to be here. I'm thankful to be in the house of the Lord with you this morning. As you said, my name's John Loudermilk, like speak up louder, drink a glass of milk. I'm thankful to be here in the U.S. The circumstances are a little different. My visa kind of ran out, and I tried to renew it, had some trouble with that, so I had to come back to the U.S. to get some things done, figured I'd be able to try to connect with some churches while I'm here. My wife was not able to come with me this time because her visa is in the process of being approved, so she had to stay in Thailand. So my heart's broken a little bit. So my wife's not here, and she can't be here to tell me to be quiet and stop talking. So I'm sorry if I speak a little too long. She's wonderful. That's a picture of my wife back there, actually. On that, I took that picture shortly after we first met in Thailand, and it just shows her heart, shows our heart for ministry to save the children. There's a little baby in the basket there. And what we do with Promised Land Ministries, we seek to rescue, restore, equip, and release children and people that are caught in trafficking. We want to release them into the Promised Land that God has for them. And so Promised Land Ministries started in my heart a few years ago. Before I had met my wife, God had just done a work within me to rescue his people. You know, they are his people. He put in my heart the passage from Exodus where he tells Moses that I've heard my people cry. I've heard my people in bondage. And I want you to go and I want you to bring them out of Egypt. And so I felt the Lord speak that to me, and he brought me back to Southeast Asia where we are doing our best to combat trafficking there, rescuing people from and out of trafficking, but also rescuing the at-risk children, because they will sell children into trafficking even at age 8 years old. And so you have girls and boys that are sold, boys made to look like girls and things like that. They call them lady boys. They give them estrogen when they first are born. Parents, grandparents, people that just steal them off the street, And you might think, you know, how could a parent do that? How could a parent let go of their child like that? You know, it's the culture that they're raised in. You know, it's just a different way of life there. So they see an opportunity for money, an opportunity to have some income. They celebrate if there's a daughter. They celebrate if there's a son and make him a daughter in their eyes. And so it's heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking. And there are so many stories I could tell you of things we've experienced, things we've encountered. It's just very heart-wrenching. You hear about it, but then when you actually experience it and you see the things that I've seen, there in Thailand, it is a place where a lot of tourists come, but the tourists mostly don't come for the mountains, for, you know, to see the Buddhist temples. They come for trafficking, and they call it different names, trafficking tourism, different things like that. They have different names for it, but there's a lot of people that just go there for that purpose, and so it gets at you because you want to go in there guns a-blazing and just grab as many as you can, but it's more difficult than that, and you just have to pray and ask the Lord to guide your steps in that area and ask for protection, because there are Russian mafia, Chinese triad that are also involved with these things in Thailand. And the government is making it harder for us. King number 10 is our new king, and he's not as kind as his father was. His father, King number 9, ruled for 70 years in Thailand. And he opened up the way for Christianity to come into Thailand. But his son is not as nice, not as kind, and he's trying to close off some things, making it harder for children to be rescued. And he's getting rid of certain visas, so volunteers cannot be there as much. And so we know that we don't battle against flesh and blood, though. We you know, it's the spiritual realms, the darkness. And so our battle is on our knees. You know, we pray, we fast, we seek the Lord, because the battle is the Lord's, you know. So we know that God has called us there. And so because God has called us there, he's going to make a way. God called the Israelites to cross the Red Sea. They may not have seen a way, but God made a way. He parted that Red Sea. And so that's what we do. So if you go ahead and go to the next slide, I'll share a little something. Joshua's kids. This is our children's home, and we want to provide this home for them. We don't want them to just be in a building with a bunch of bunk beds with, hey, you're safe, you know, here. We want to provide them with a place where they feel the love of a mother. They feel the love of a father. They feel the love of God inside their home. We want to create that atmosphere for them. And so in the background, you can kind of see me and my wife and the 5 girls we take care of. Right now, we're kind of limited with, as I said, the laws are, they're trying to make it to where you can only have 5 children in your home unless you have a lot of land. And right now, we're starting out slow. The book of Zechariah says, do not despise small beginnings. And so that's where we are right now, small beginnings. But, you know, God is blessing and increasing us. And so So we have these 5 girls. We have 2 of them that are starting high school, Janet and Jam. And we have Yipsy, who's starting middle school. And then Fa and Maggie are the younger ones, and they're still in elementary school, 5th and 6th grade. Kindergarten to 6th grade is elementary school. 7th to 9th is middle school there. And 10th to 12th is high school there. So these are our girls. And I'll tell you a little bit about them later. They're just so precious. They are. They're so precious, and I love them. I love them so much. They're from different tribes. We have two different tribes with us, Karen and Hmong. There are actually 12 tribes in Thailand, but they only recognize seven. There's only seven tribes that are recognized by the government. So the Karen tribe is actually the tribe that my wife is from. You can see I'm wearing this outfit that my sister-in-law made me. They loom these, and as Pastor said, we have some stuff back there. We teach the girls different trades. You know, we teach them to cook. We teach them to make, you know, jewelry and scarves and different things like that, and clothes. And so we want to prepare them for life. We don't want to just, you know, rescue them and just keep them with us. We want to prepare them for life. You know, we want to treat them like our children and teach them different things that they can do to survive in Thailand or wherever they want to go. But we teach them English. And so English will give them greater opportunity to go other places. And so we're thankful for that. So this is a purse, a little purse that they've made. And you can, I guess, put your money in it if you want to, or cards, or however you want to use it. This is a scarf that they make. Now, usually it takes about 3 weeks to make this scarf. You know, they use the loom, so they make it all by hand. And so, you know, when you get a little cold in the village, Thailand's hot. You know, it's usually 90, 100 degrees, unless you go up the mountains. Now, the first time I was up there with my wife, and it was before we were really married, because I had to prove my love to her by eating some insects and bugs and getting approval from the tribal council and everything like that. The tribe has spoken, so we had to do some of that. But while we go up there, and she said, "Now you're going to get cold at night." I said, "Cold?" I said, "It's hot. It's like 90 degrees outside." But she's right. Yeah, she's right. When I got up there at night, it probably got down in the 40s, and I'm shivering. Well, I'm laying down in bed, and I'm like, "Oh my gosh, it's so cold." So it does get cold up there in the village in the hills, but it is hot usually down in the city. Now, this is something else that they make. This is a bag. I'll show you how they carry it in the village. They carry it like this. Okay, they put stuff in it, and they'll just walk and they'll carry it. And you might see, you know, a little old woman carrying it like this. You might have some rocks in there that she's carrying or something like that. And so that's how they carry it in the village. I carry it like this, of course, and usually put my Bible or something in there if I go to church. And so these are some things that we have back there. We're accepting donations by donation. We used to sell them for $10 a piece, but we found that people wanted to give more than that. So we started just doing it by donation, because it goes to the girls. It goes back to taking care of the girls, to helping them achieve their goals. Something that they're not taught in their school or in their culture is, what do you want to be when you grow up? What do you want to do? And so that's something that we want to teach them. So you go ahead and go to the next slide for me. This is the house that we're renting right now. We're very thankful that we stumbled upon it. The Lord just opened it up for us, and it's got a large room that we can fit six girls in there. We also have my niece helps us out with taking care of the girls as well. We're actually in the process. My wife is in the process of rescuing another girl. She's in the atmosphere of drugs. There's drugs being sold, sexual abuse, and different things like that. And so we're trying to get in before the mafia can get in, or a pimp or something like that can get in there. So she's in the process of trying to get this girl out. She's 12 years old. So if you've been praying for that and God's guidance with that. So this is the house where we're praying for land. Because we want to rescue as many girls as we can and provide a nice home for them. So the more land we have, the more girls we can rescue. And so the prices just keep going up. But we know that God can can provide and can do it. Right now we're at $33,000 per acre. So we're just asking God to just provide. We know that He can, and He will. So you go to the next one. So something else we do, we do village ministry. We go up and we evangelize in the villages. And my father-in-law is a minister in his village. And so he's also the tribal leader there. And so the top left picture, if you can see it, we're actually celebrating New Year's. So the way they celebrate New Year's there is we just have a worship service the whole night together around the fires. And so that's what we did for New Year's. And then the bottom left picture, we're in a house celebrating the building of this new house. Every time we receive something, we build a new house, get a new car, get a new job or something like that, we all come together as a church, as a body of believers, and we just worship the Lord and we thank God for what He's given us. And so that's something we do. On the right-hand side, you see a lot of our children that we work with, too, in the village, my wife's village. And we, you know, teach them songs and play with them and interact with them, teach them more about the Word of God, and try to get them to make goals for themselves. So what would you like to do? What's your goal for this month? What's your goal for in 3 years? Different things like that to give them something to hope for in the future. You can go to the next slide. We also do youth discipleship in a church, local church in Chiang Mai. The youth, now youth in Thailand are different. The youth in Thailand range from age 16 to 30. You're still considered a teenager or a child until you're 30 years old, unless you get married before then. So it's we work with 20s, you know, 30s and younger than that too. So it's a big range, variety of ages. So we teach them songs, we disciple them as well. So that's something else we do. We're trying to open up other ways to connect and to minister into different countries or different villages and different things like that. So we want to bring the gospel as well as rescue the children as well. So that's us, you know, that's what we do. That's just a little tidbit of what I wanted to share. I know Brooke had come here and shared some more, so I didn't want to repeat myself or what she exactly said or anything like that. But you know, these children, they're brought up in an atmosphere that you can't even imagine. Two of our girls, Yipsy and Maggie, they were brought up in a home full of drugs, alcohol, didn't even have enough food to eat with. They would go and try to steal food to try to eat. And these girls are really, and they're 10, you know, 10 years old, 10, 11 years old. They've been abused physically, mentally, sexually, and you just, you know, you just want to grab them and just hold them and say, it's okay. You know, it's okay. Our Yipsy and Maggie, when we first got them, you know, we had realized, you know, we're missing some food in our fridge. We know we just bought that. What happened to it? Come to find out, I stayed up one night, and they were sneaking into our kitchen, and they were sneaking food under their shirts and trying to get food and bring it back to their room so they would have enough to eat. And I told them, girls, you live under my house, my roof. Everything here is yours. You don't have to sneak around. If you're hungry, you go get something to eat. You don't have to sneak around, okay? If you're hungry for more food at lunch, more food at breakfast, more food at dinner, tell us. We'll get you more food because we don't want you to be without. And so that's just something that they were used to. They were used to having to steal this food and get food from other places. And so we're glad that we're able to have them and teach them and be with them. So that's what we do. And we also teach them something else. I want to share a little message with you called I Am. And so this is another teaching that we teach them, and I want to bring that to you today. So if you would turn with me in your Bibles, if you have them, to Exodus, Exodus chapter 3, and starting in verse 10. I'll read from the King James Version this morning. So Exodus chapter 3, verse 10, and we'll read into verse 15. You can stay seated at the feet of Jesus as we read from Exodus chapter 3, verse 10 to 15. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, Certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers hath sent me unto you. And they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for your word. We thank you, Lord, for coming together as the body of Christ, God. Holy Spirit, we ask you to come down in this place, that you would change our hearts and our minds for you, that we would leave this place changed and challenged by your word, God. And that, Lord, you would just encourage us today, for you are the great I am. We thank you and ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. So, my first question is, who am I? You know, who am I? That's something that we see Moses says in verse 11. Moses said, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh? You know, a lot of times, you know, we might read that as you know, Moses trying to be humble. Who am I, God? Who am I? But really, in the context of things, Moses is struggling with his identity. He's struggling with the problems he has, you know, his past, the things that he does. God, I can't. You're telling me to do this, but I can't. I don't even know who I am. I was this prince in Egypt, and then I murdered somebody, and I came now. I'm a shepherd. Who am I to the? I don't even know who I am. I have all these hats that I wear. I have all these things. God, send somebody else. I can't do this. I have this speaking problem. I can't. Who am I, God? Who am I? You know, a lot of times we have these excuses that we give ourselves. We give God. And we say, God, just who am I? You know, I struggled with who I was. I started college, and I started college my first year, finished my first year, started my second year. I ended up dropping out of college. I dropped out of college, and because I had messed up. I had messed up big time. I was like, I'm supposed to be this Christian. I'm a pastor's son, and I just blew it. I was like, you know what, God? I thought you'd call me into ministry, but who am I? I mean, who am I? Who am I? Who did I become? Who have I become? And so I ended up getting a job at General Electric. I made washing machines, and I worked on second shift. I was like, well, going to be here the rest of my life. This is what I'm going to do. And that's okay. It's okay if that's what God calls you to do. That's not what God called me to do. And so I just sat there and I struggled with who I was, and I was like, God, I don't even know who I am anymore. I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. I just feel so depressed and bad that I why am I here? And I got down on my knees and said, God, if you really still want me to be in ministry, if this is really what you want me to do, if this is really who you're calling me to be, then I need you to put me on first shift, is what I said. And it's hard to get on first shift at GE, especially if you just start working there. And so I was 21 years old, and that next week, God put me on first shift. So I got on first shift. I was like, all right, God, you answer my prayer, so we do this. And I began to cultivate this relationship with God even more so. And the Lord, you know, began to say, it's not about who you are, it's about who I am. Huh? It's about who I am, who God is. And I was like, well, what does that mean? It's about who you are. And so who is God? Who is God? God is the great I am. He even tells Moses, he says, I am that I am. That is my name. I am that I am. He is the great shepherd. He is the rock of all ages. He is the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the bright and morning star, the lily of the valley, the rose of Sharon, the lamb slain since the foundation of the world. He's the way, the truth, and the life. The Lamb of God, the peace speaker, the one who the wind and the waves obey. And he says, peace, be still. He is God of all. He is God of creation, God of everything. And so as we begin to learn who God is, you know, I like books. I love books. There's so much you can learn within one book. There you can learn the characters, the plot, the arc and everything like that. There's also some fine details sometimes if you're careful in reading, you can learn that. Well, in the book of Exodus, we have God who says his name is I Am. And then in Exodus chapter 20, we have the Ten Commandments where it says that we are not supposed to take the names Lord in vain. Well, what does that mean to take something, to take a name? Well, in marriage, if the woman is taking the name of the man, then they are taking the last name. You know, Loudermilk, my last name, Loudermilk. My wife took my last name. And in adoption, next slide, please. We take the name of the father. In adoption, we take the name of the father, and we become known as a Loudermilk, a Jones, or whatever the father's last name is, as we have adopted. So, if we are adopted, as Romans chapter 8, verse 14 to 17 says, we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. We take the name of God the Father. So what is his name? Well, if you look at Exodus chapter 3, it says his name is I Am. So when we say, I am this, I am smart, I am loved, we are taking the name of the Father. But if we say, I am stupid, I am messed up, I am sick, we're taking the Lord's name in vain. Okay? We're taking that name, I Am, and we're making it something it's not. Because God is not sick. God is not stupid. You know, we have to take the promises of the Word of God. We have to take these truths of the Word of God. I am a child of God. I am loved. I am a king. I am a queen. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I am saved, sanctified, and filled with the love and Spirit of God. And we have to take these and claim them over our lives. You know, words are very powerful. Words are very powerful. The power of suggestion, the power of words. When I was in Israel, we had a rabbi that walked with us and talked with us and told us about the different things we saw. And he was explaining the way Jerusalem was built on this mountain. And he was talking and using a young woman, and he had hats on her head. And he touched the top of her head. And he said, this barren mountain. And then his eyes got really big, and he started speaking in Hebrew, praying to God. And he asked her for her forgiveness. And she was kind of confused, and she said, well, what do you mean, your forgiveness? He said, I touched your head, and I said, this barren mountain. And she was still kind of confused, but he said, you were not barren, you were fruitful. Because words mean things, especially to the Jewish people. They mean so much. That's why, you know, names are important in the Bible. We see everything that God says is important. This is God's word. We ask God, God, give me a word, give me a word, give me a word. This is his word that he has given us already, and we need to put that within our hearts and hide that within us. Like my sister said, you know, transforming our mind by God's word. Okay? And so he had asked her for his forgiveness because he had said that. And he explained that words are so powerful that what you say can come into existence. As a, you know, there's a world out there we can't see. They got those visual reality goggles now, right? And you have like this game you can see on your phone that you put in there. My brother has one. It's a little Star Wars game, so he's got a little lightsaber and it looks like he's whacking the air, but he sees this person on the other side of this game that he's fighting. Okay, but what I see from the outside, I just see him just waving something in the air, you know. But that's the thing, is that when we get on our knees, we start fighting in a different realm. We start fighting spiritually in a world we can't see. And that's what we have to do with claiming things of ourselves. I am saved. I am loved. When those thoughts that go against God's word come into our mind, you have to say, no, I rebuke that. This is what God says about me. This is who I am in Christ. This is who I am. Okay? I am not those things. And so, you know, that's what we have to do. You know, these are things I teach our girls because that's something that they grow up. If they can't do something right the first time, then they're always told that they're stupid or something like that. And if in the village they grew up in, they're even discouraged to go to school. They're discouraged to even dream about things. You can't do that. You see how you were brought up? You can't do that because I don't live in a world, or I can't. I live in a world where I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And so I tell our girls, I say, you can do anything you put your mind to. You can. It doesn't matter where you came from. It doesn't matter who your mommy is. It doesn't matter who your daddy is. But it does matter who you serve, and you serve God, and he is your father. And so you have taken his name, I am. So I am loved. I am made holy. I am made righteous. I am a child of God. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. And so I want to leave you today with that encouragement. You can do all things through him. And you are loved. You are cherished. You are a child of God. You are a son. You are a daughter of the King. And God has great plans for you. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how young you are. Caleb was 80 years old. He took the mountain. It doesn't matter how old you are. Josiah was king at 8 years old. God can use you. He formed you in the womb. He knew you before you were even formed. Before you were born, he knew you. And he loves you and he cares about you and he still has great plans for you. Don't sell yourself short. We may not be able to choose the circumstances that we're in, but we can choose how we handle them and how we can give them to God and allow God to take care of us. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, we come to you right now. We thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy. We thank you, God, for who you are, for what you've done for us, how we are adopted into the family of God. And we can take your name, I am, and live a life that is abundant, live a life that is fruitful, live a life for you, God. That we can have a life of peace within us, because you are peace. That we can have this life, God, that is filled with love because you are love. And Lord, we thank you so much for who you are and what you're doing in our lives. And I ask you, God, right now that you would come upon your people here. That you would touch their hearts, their minds, God. That you would just surround them with your warring angels. Surround them with your peace. Surround them with your love. Surround them, Lord, with with just thoughts of goodness, thoughts of peace, thoughts of love within their minds and in their hearts, God, that you would transform them into the person you have called them to be. That they would not sell themselves short, O God, but that they would claim the promises of God in your word. And we thank you, Jesus, for who you are. We ask all this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.